I'ma say what I feel, and I promise to keep it real.
Welcome to the Red Room.
Well, you gotta be a rider till your fears are diminished and the doubts are behind ya. It's hard to grind and the business got me stressed in the rent room. We let that shit up off our chest. You know the street nerd has got no time for no caca. Sass in class, yes, that's Mr. Bolakaja. Never have to guess when you're listening to Hilliard. He gon' bring more game than a shark playing billiards. It's all about the crap of screenwriting. It's exciting when you turn an outline into something enlightening. Your pen and words are like bullets in a gun. Write what you feel, say what you want.
Welcome to the Red Room.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Hilliard Guest. You guys are listening to the Screenwriters Rant Room. Well, we keep it real. We keep it opinionated. We keep it what, everybody?
Wakanda.
I would say Wakanda, but some of us are going to probably be in mourning right now because, as you all know, Infinity War done opened up. And I have muted all language pertaining to that, but I still get emojis
from
people.
Can I introduce the goddamn show?
I'm just telling you, some of us might be a little bit salty and a little bit sad right now.
Understood. Y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room. On this show, we discuss entertainment, TV, film, music, culture, but our focus is always screenwriting, stories, craft, and shit like that. Now, Lisa Colt, Jam, you can go in.
I ain't got nothing to say now.
The street nerdist has got nothing to say.
She on mute.
I have nothing to say now.
So we could actually put your ass on mute sometime.
Okay, though. You know what? There you go. Hello, everybody.
Then we got my man Chris Derrick in the house from the writing directing team, the Derrick Brothers. What's up, Chris?
Not much. Just trying to finish up.
Just trying to finish up, Sam.
Birthday boy, a.k.a.
Today?
Tomorrow.
Oh. Tomorrow? Mm-hmm.
What is that? Tomorrow?
19. He'll be 19.
So,
30th.
You're 60, oh, 61, 62. You look good for your age.
You're Taurus.
Awesome.
What is old ass?
It's called bone broth.
Bone broth.
I had some this morning.
Hey.
I just made my batch. I was drinking some this morning.
Hey.
That's hilarious.
Hey,
wow.
And then the voice you guys haven't heard in a very long time.
Yes.
It's been a long time since I left you.
December.
When I don't rhyme. Yeah. Step
December.
The year in wrap up was the last time I was here.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Okay. And I didn't have anything really to say, that was good this year. It was like,
That's what now.
But you know what? There was movies that I think were underappreciated last year. That at the time of the year in wrap up, I hadn't seen.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen Call Me by Your Name yet.
Yeah,
so that was just a fantastic.
Have you seen that one?
I did see that.
Oh, I love that.
I love that movie. So it's it's just certain things that you miss.
Right.
So, but anyway.
Yeah, because you get busy at the end of the year. I'm trying to get gifts. Do travel.
Trying to sleep.
Can't do it all.
You're good with doing gifts and stuff. I done told people 15 years ago, y'all ain't getting shit no more.
Me too.
Half of y'all grown. Your gift is when because people don't see me. They don't get a chance to because people are doing it. It's like, my presence is your present. I will give you cards.
That's a very good point. I need to use that.
I will cook for them. Like, usually if I go visit and stuff,
I
do is I'll cook a nice meal.
You don't cook for them?
Yeah, I'll cook a nice meal.
I'll cook
a nice meal and, hey, I'm glad to see you. And that's about it because, when you travel trying to get gifts and it's just, and plus,
here's the other thing, trying to put the gifts in a bag, put on a plane. It's just difficult. It really is.
It's like when I used to travel over the Europe to give gifts to my niece and nephew, and it's just the hat, and it's like, can I just give gift cards? I mean, you want to be able to do the whole gift thing and get, it's just.
Yeah, let them buy what they want to get anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Auntie's here, be happy.
That's being lazy.
Or.
And being unhumanistic. I'm just kidding.
Or you could do Amazon. What I did was like Amazon or something, and ship it right to them.
Oh, right.
Hey, your Christmas gift is coming. Don't open a box till December 25th.
That's the new smart thing way of doing it.
So you should tell people to put together that wish list and make it public.
Wish lists are amazing.
And then just go, and then, click it. Oh, so like what looks cool that I think they'll remember.
But nobody in here got me anything, so that's all right.
I don't give because it's too much. Plus, most of you guys are blessed most of you guys are blessed and you already have things, and it's like, I don't know.
We all have too much shit.
I guess I was thinking,
what
do we give somebody who has everything?
I know.
We all have too much shit. All of us.
Like, my big thing.
So, welcome to the show, Lanelle White, everybody.
Hi.
Writer, producer, director herself.
Yes.
Hello.
What's going on, girl? How you been?
I've been good.
Yeah.
I've been good. Happy New Year.
You look good.
Do I?
You look like you're glowing.
Oh. Okay.
Or yeah, what you doing?
Makeup or something.
Mm-hmm. No, you glowing.
No, you know, I haven't getting more sleep. I haven't getting
there
more
you go.
Sleep.
That'll help.
And trying to control some hormone levels and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So and hey, I had that, my that, bone broth this morning. So
hey.
That does wonders. Listen,
do it, right?
No, I saw Angela Bassett. I was like,
don't give
I saw
the
Angela
away.
Bassett. And I was like,
is that her secret?
She's no, I don't know what her secret is. But I'm looking at her.
Her secret is she's a vampire.
Oh, she's not aging.
Did you see her? That picture of her?
Yes, that's the one I'm talking about.
I was like, look. The kink community, they are writing fan fiction with her. They're doing like 50 Shades of Angela Bassett with him. And I'm like, I am all for it. Like, the movie is already done. It's like, let her be
wasn't
the boss.
Wasn't she in like that one, like the one episode of American, one season of American Horror Story that they did the voodoo people down
yeah.
there?
Yeah,
yeah, she was on the whole season.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but she looks phenomenal.
She, like, that's the
goal.
Man.
So, if you guys are grown, let's go ahead and get to the show. So what are we talking about today, Lisa? So, I know it's a lot of drama going on.
So few weeks. Right now, I should be in Baltimore, Maryland,
mm-hmm.
buying all the good fandom shit, meeting with my Twitter peeps.
Somebody's a little angry here. Ooh.
Eating crab cakes, walking around, yelling out, Omar coming. But you know what?
Omar coming. Damn. Damn.
Damn. That's a historic TV show.
I know.
And the true fandom goes by and says all that stuff.
All in the game.
Hey. Hey.
All in the right. game.
Hey, Stringer Bell, all them. Taking right. pictures like, this is the spot right. where Wee Boy and Wee Bay and them. And this is where Snoop. No. So, let me just preface this by.
Yeah, for people who do not
so
know.
So, you got to set it up.
2 years ago.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Tell it. You jump in where you need to.
Yeah, I will.
2 years ago. When we found out, now I'm telling you how stuff kind of pulled together. Okay. So I say 2 years ago is when we start getting information about Black Panther and the cast, and people were hyped.
Right.
And during the midst of all of that stuff that we were talking about, Jamie Broadnax, who created Black Girl Nerds and a couple of other nerd organizations, mm-hmm. Got together and decided that they were going to create something called Universal FanCon because they were saying that...
Is that for people of color?
It's for or? Everybody.
Okay.
And it was supposed to be the most inclusive... Give me a chance! Give me a chance,
my notes. I'm pulling out
she's
my
got,
notes.
No, she got, no I'm telling you. Have your notes.
PowerPoint presentation on this one.
No, we got to go in.
Because it's so complicated.
Yes.
You'll get lost.
Yes.
If you don't have...
So I'm just going to set it up, okay. And then I'm going to turn it over to Linnell because right. she's got the notes and the PowerPoint. You can't see the PowerPoint, but she's got drawing and sketches.
The PowerPoint in my head.
That's why we need to film.
So they came together, and they got some affiliates, some people that I associate with online who are amazing people. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure this is a clear demarcation mm-hmm. line. The affiliates, their job was basically to promote Universal FanCon. Mm-hmm. So they were not involved with any money.
And was this podcast an affiliate? Just full disclosure?
No.
Okay.
What's that?
And were you guys an affiliate of the Universal FanCon?
No, okay, no.
Did you guys?
I had actually thought about doing some panels and stuff, but one mm-hmm. of the people I wanted to do my panel with on horror, Graveyard Shift Sister, she was unable to go. So I wasn't going to be interested in doing a panel without her. Right. One, because I've been following her for a couple of years, and she's amazing, and we're these Black women who are into horror, and right. she's done amazing work on her social media and just on her website in centering Black women and Black people in horror mm-hmm. with academics, all her stuff. So it would have been the first time that we would have been able to meet in person okay. and do a panel and talk about something that we love. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't able to do that, so I was like, well, I don't feel like doing any panels. But I'm going to go for the panels because the panels sounded amazing. So anyway, mm-hmm. they came together, and the whole idea was going to be this inclusive one. It was going to take into account people with disabilities, because one of the complaints yes. with many conventions is they don't have facilities that are wheelchair accessible.
It gets packed in the aisles, yes. and if you're in a wheelchair, yes. you can't get
people
get
who are hearing impaired, all that kind of stuff. So they had got in people like... many people I follow on Twitter who are disability advocates who, you know, they got those people on their board to be consultants to tell them this is how you make an inclusive con. Mm-hmm. So my fandom that I hang out with, we were just geeked out. Yeah. Now, mind you, they created this Kickstarter and said, well, look, let's do this Kickstarter.
And let's be clear. It was Jamie Broadnax and then two guys
right.
that were the main, right. like, the founders, if you will.
Right. Right.
Robert Butler and right. one other dude. I don't know.
What's his name?
Abram, I think, is
yeah.
his last name.
So you can
from
look
the Black Geeks.
Yeah, look at the hashtag, either hashtag FanCon or Universal FanCon.
If you want to get the whole
the whole
lowdown,
and nothing but the truth.
There's two articles that yes. are like the okay. There's three actually. There's three that I would refer you to like get the whole timeline down. And you might want to pause the podcast, go read these articles,
and then come back
and listen to us,
right,
you know, dissect. So Clarkeisha Kent wrote...
Hey, Clarkeisha! That's my girl, sorry.
She wrote an article on The Root.
Yes.
Talking about her involvement with FanCon and how it sort of fell apart.
Right.
Hers has a personal tinge to it,
because
she was directly involved.
Right.
Then there was another article on Women Write About Comics by Jasmine Joyner and Rosie Marks, which I felt like
was
so investigative and so detailed.
So
good. They went in, they discovered things, which we could talk about later.
Right.
What was it called now? Women
Write About Comics.
But Jasmine Joyner and Rosie Marks. And then Blurred Man did a timeline on Medium where he goes back to the Kickstarters in 2016. Right. Then this happened. Here's everything 2017. Then guests were attached and all this, the whole time.
Oh,
so those three things will get you kind of straight on what went down.
But the whole point of the Monique
going on, what was that about?
What?
Joelle.
Oh, no. We were just part of the people who were excited about, talking about it and just meeting all of our people.
Because on paper, it's a really good idea.
Right.
A lot of people, people responded to it, at least on Twitter anyway.
Right. And the impression was, because I have this question. Yeah.
So do they make enough money with the Kickstarter?
Listen, they made double what they asked for. They asked for $25,000. I think they got $56,000.
Yeah.
Is that enough to do anything?
Listen, this is what they should have done. And this is what the impression I was going to do.
Yeah.
If I was, this is what I thought. But because you invest in people and because of the name and you think my impression was they must have got some sponsors in order to get the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever you do a very first con, every person knows you do that shit small. You hotel con it.
Yep. Right.
You get a small hotel.
Ballroom.
And with that $56,000, boom, you pay for that, get the little ballroom, just get a couple little rooms to do panels.
Boops.
And then the bar,
and
let
really,
people hang at the bar.
And really, you know, dress it up, way you want it to be.
And when it's a first con, and the whole point was, the reason a lot of us got invested, I was backer number 36 on the Kickstarter.
You're early.
You know our number,
yeah,
Jack.
I was early. Okay. The moment the message went out, I was number 36.
How many total backers?
Okay,
I gave
1,100. Now, here's the problem with the Kickstarter. Okay, first of all, so they got more than what they asked for. They asked for too little, $25,000.
Right.
That's nothing, right? So they asked for too little.
Haircut money.
They were giving away... they were giving away too many freebies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I think a $35 contribution to Kickstarter got you a ticket to Universal FanCon, for the whole weekend or something.
Right.
It's ooh.
Right.
And then they were giving, the $250 package was giving you a hotel room for the weekend.
Ooh.
You're giving away too much.
Right.
Okay, the other thing is, let's look at those 1,100 backers. Black Girl Nerds, at the time, probably had between, around 200,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you got 1,100 backers. So even 1% of your followers on Black Girl Nerds, I'm not even counting Black Geeks or other people.
Right.
Only 1% of your followers say, all right, let me put money in this Kickstarter.
0.5%.
Mm-hmm. Less than that. Yes, less than that, right? So that tells you something right there. That tells you that sometimes having this big social media following
does not
translate to business.
Right.
Also, you're targeting a disenfranchised group, right?
Mm-hmm. Who's going to be broke anyway
and can't do the airfare and the hotel room and all this stuff to get to an event in Baltimore.
In Baltimore.
Why'd y'all pick Baltimore? Who's from Baltimore? Who is from Baltimore? Why?
Maybe because that's where they're from.
No. Is Broadnecks from Baltimore?
I don't think so.
Is it because it's more of
we have no idea why they picked that
spot. What you should have done is go to one of your mid-sized cities, Charlotte, even St. Louis, somewhere smaller. You can get stuff cheaper and make that $56,000 into something bigger.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You should have focused on your ride or die Kickstarter people from the jump. Those are people who are in, I want this. They put their money in. So,
and you had a guarantee of at least 1,000, at least even if half of those people came.
Let's say 500 to 700.
Right.
If you just kept it with that small group, you could have had something.
Yes.
Right. But wait. So, okay, this is me being the logistic guy. So you go into Baltimore, which doesn't have a good reputation as a city for anything.
crab cakes?
Wow.
Crab cakes?
I'm not trying to... look.
They have an aquarium.
I'm not trying to personally disparage it, but I remember in one of David Simon's books that people used to call it gonorrhea more because it was such a high level of
body more Murderland?
All this kind of craziness. So... And they want to do 500. So we're just saying, the Kickstarter thing and the thing about social media following. I looked at that too. It's such a weird percentage of stuff like that. So, and they want to get a convention center,
right? for $56K. No, you get a ballroom. Or you get a high school gym. Right. Hell, it doesn't matter.
Mind you, this was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you have 2 years to put together.
Listen. Let me show you the hot mess it becomes. So, of course, those of us who are like fans and all that stuff, you know, they had other people names attached. And you're thinking, okay, well, they got people. You hire professional people who can handle that. We're just looking forward to 2018. And that was my plan. My plan was we get Black Panther. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll get Infinity War. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good year of 2018. And then we get like, and then we'll have, you know, Universal Fan Con. I can meet people.
We can have community.
We can have community where those people who did like the Saturday Night Sci-Fi live tweets, Clark Keisha, all my friends, Lauren, everybody.
I feel like they've been left out in this conversation, is the disabled community.
Yes. Get
a venue specifically
that centers them too.
Yes.
And has panels and things and shows their fandom. It's huge.
Right.
And
it's intersectional because I'm finding out some of the Black girl nerds are disabled.
Yes.
You know? So I'm just okay.
Yes.
This makes sense.
So you have those ride or die people who are like, we want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward.
Mm-hmm.
A year later.
So that's the setup.
So years later, let's say from 2017, they announce it's going to be at the convention center. These are the dates.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, we start getting all these celebrities. I think one of the first ones that came on was Orlando Jones.
Yeah, I'm going to speak on that in a minute.
And then I started getting all these other people from TV shows. I remember they were putting out social media blasts like, if you could have, who would be your dream person? Right. So, of course, when you were listening to that, we're thinking, and I'm just, this is from my perspective, I'm thinking, you know what? It's cool to dream. We probably ain't going to get those people. But you know what? We can dream.
Yeah.
You know? Because I'm thinking, just get maybe two guests of honor and let the rest of it just be our panels and our people.
Right.
So at this point, when they start name dropping, we got this person coming in.
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, shit.
And at the same time, though, they're also pushing buy tickets.
Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, damn, they must have got like a huge sponsor.
Well, who else did they get?
Billy Dee Williams.
Billy Dee Williams, like the last minute, like literally a couple
wait
weeks.
A minute.
A couple
wait,
of weeks.
Wait a minute.
Rock, wait a minute.
Billy Dee Williams he's not sick? He's not like in the hospital?
No.
Was he in the hospital?
No.
Okay.
He may have been.
No, we had this conversation about him being in Last Jedi and he should have been in the movie. And
that was a conversation that
Laura Dern, character should have been Lando.
Should have been Lando.
You didn't even need this this wavy, skinny white lady on the bridge of that ship. We didn't need her at all. That should have been Lando. And he should have sacrificed. There wouldn't have been a dry eye in the house afterwards.
Yeah, they all would have been crying.
Right.
Yeah. All would have been crying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway,
because I heard he was sick and that's why they didn't get him.
No, it could have
been when they were filming the movie at that time.
No, he could have been.
And it couldn't,
Ryan Johnson didn't think of it. He's been asked directly, why isn't Billy Dee Williams in this movie?
Oh, well then that's
and Ryan Johnson admitted, I did not think of that.
Wait
period.
A minute.
Blank. Bitch.
Wait a minute.
Period. Blank.
Wait a minute. Yeah,
bitch.
Why are you even allowed to write the project?
Bitch.
Okay, so let's table this and get back to that part.
Okay,
later,
we'll table that. We'll jump back
interesting
over.
To me. Right.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry to break that news to y'all. He did. That was in print.
I was like hoping that they can't be that stupid.
No. He didn't. It did not cross his mind. Quote unquote, Ryan Johnson. Yes.
How do you miss one of the most pivotal scenes?
Because you're thinking, here's the thing. You're thinking, I have Finn.
That would make you want to go see Solo to see him when he's younger.
Check the black box. I'm good. I've got Finn running around. Rose.
Yes,
I'm
but
good.
See, that means that you're a bad Star Wars fan because one of the seminal moments in that franchise is in Empire.
Say it.
When he gets off of the Falcon and he's like, you low life.
Yes.
And it's like, hey, that little twist is one of the coolest moments in the movie.
Say that.
And it's a black man who is in charge of an animated operation.
Right.
And
he's a criminal. City.
Hair laid.
He was complicated. And let's not forget Return of the Jedi, who blows up the Death Star.
Exactly.
So
that's Lando.
Okay.
So coming back. Come back to our world.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho. So in my mind, I'm just talking to y'all from a perspective of someone as a backer, as someone who was just excited for the only reason was to see my peoples.
Right.
Yeah, it's great to have celebrities.
You've been talking
and stuff.
About it for years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the time, I'm thinking because this is what you need to understand. When you have celebrity people come to a convention, you have to pay for their room and board and their transportation.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay their signing fee.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay for guest appearance. You have to pay for all that. And then
it
adds up. And then not only that, but you got to have some guarantees in case something goes wrong. And then you got to remember that these people are going to be charging a grip of money for signing. If you give them a table to do signing, they're going to charge anywhere from $25 to $50 to $150 for. So if you are supposed to be universal and marginalized and disenfranchised people, you need to consider that maybe this is not the year to try to get that many people if you don't really have the budget. But mind you, I'm thinking, well, shit, if you're getting all these people, you must have got a huge sponsorship.
Your budget for the con should have been the $56,000.
Yes.
And anything on top of that. Ticket sales on top of that would have been gravy. Right. And then you throw a big party at the end, like,
that's where all everyone we needed. In fact, bitch, we can bar con. Like, literally, get the hotel room. You get the little ballroom for all the vendors. You get a couple of rooms for the panels. You can have a two-track panel.
Right.
So you can have, like, every other hour, there's a panel going on. Mm-hmm. And and if you only have two panels going at the same time, you can actually videotape and stream it for people who can't make it in. Mm-hmm. So that's making it accessible for people who can't travel. And on top of that, at the end, you just bar con it.
So let's go to, so what happened April 20th, Lisa?
So here's the thing. Let me tell you, Mama, myself, got her ticket back in March, plane ticket, booked my hotel room, and got my stuff ready, got my fan clothes.
What's the actual date?
This weekend, right now.
April 27th.
Right now.
A three-day con, April 27th to the 29th.
I should be sitting in a bar right now.
And it was scheduled for 24 hours.
Thank you. Can't we say
24 hours?
Listen, so here's the thing. I got other things going on. I'm still off the high of Black Panther. I'm getting stoked up for Infinity War. So mind you, last week, I'm getting off work. I've already made my schedule for my staff to prepare them that Mama's not going to be home. Mm-hmm. Y'all need to take care of the camp while I'm gone. I'm about to do my fandom, see my peeps, deuces. I got my suitcase from work, my travel suitcase from work. I put it in the trunk of my car. I had just closed my office door. Literally, I'm walking with my phone to my car. I'm getting in. I didn't have to drive my niece home. My niece works for me. I didn't have to take her home with me. So that means I was going to go down to the Mexican place and get my margarita, get my drink on, get my food before I go do what I need to do. And I thought to myself, hey, I might even go see Black Panther one more time just for the hell of it.
Jesus Christ.
I look at my phone.
You haven't memorized yet?
I do.
Seven times.
Listen.
Seven times.
You shut your mouth.
Jeez.
But I'm going with different people when I see it, and it's fun to watch the other people's eye, and they want me to go with them. And come on. So I look at the phone, and I see a thing, and I'm sure my eyes are deceiving me, where I see something says that FanCon has been postponed. And I said,
postponed.
Surely, maybe they don't mean this FanCon. Maybe they're talking about somebody, one of the guests.
And to be sure, there's another FanCon in South Africa. Like, this called FanCon.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and I'm thinking, like, okay, what is this? So I have another, like, you know, group of people that I private chat, you know, that I get within. And I'm looking in here like, oh my God, what is going on? And so I get online and I start looking it up and it says that it's been postponed. And I'm thinking, something catastrophic must have happened.
Right. Baltimore is under attack.
You can't postpone a week before.
The convention center's on
Mofos
fire.
Mofos are showing up on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Yeah, people
hurricane coming for, oh,
people
it's
are
hurricane
flying
season.
In from London and the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. All over.
Who some of them are not even on. And so I'm thinking, so this is my mind. Wow. I'm thinking, blah, blah, blah. And I'm looking at all this stuff. And so I remember thinking, let me send, because at that point, I don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Who's not on social media who would be going? I'm curious.
There's some people who aren't.
Well, how do you even know about it then?
They probably have friends that tell them.
Oh, a lot of podcasts were pushing
podcasts
this,
were pushing this, that kind of thing.
Because the affiliates were all told,
right,
sell tickets, sell tickets, sell tickets. And so a lot of them had podcasts and they were like, hey, get out there, keep pushing this event. Tell them we need more tickets sold. We're not quite at the numbers we need to be at. Keep pushing. So that happened.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. So these people have no sponsor from what I can tell. Mm-hmm.
We're thinking, mind you, we're thinking they must have, because you're name dropping all these TV show people that are coming. They had the Killjoys, some of the cast from the Killjoys was coming
and
out
there. And all the American, so a lot of people from American.
From the Killjoys.
Listen.
Mm-hmm. Coming from London.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. Anywho.
I like that one girl on
anywho,
that show.
Anywho. So as I'm getting ready to leave, I'm thinking, oh my God, this is, so my first thought was, this is, must be so hard. Something bad, like either they must have found something at the convention center that made it unsafe and they can't use it anymore, or something must have went down. They're telling me we can't use it.
Ebola outbreak.
I'm thinking
there's a bomb scare or something.
Or something where there's something like this is what I'm
or
thinking.
Or it's like, what did Trump do?
Something is unsafe. So I remember I direct messaged Jamie Bronax and just said, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, I hope everything's okay. I'm sending you good energy away. Like, you know, this thing must be really horrible for you.
Oh, you're like that with her. You could direct message her. Okay.
Well, it's because we follow each other. When you follow each other, you can direct message.
DM on Twitter.
Right.
Okay,
and so I just direct, because at that point, like, I'm thinking something catastrophic, because there's no way that they would cancel something on purpose a week prior. So I sent off the little tweet message, and then I drive down to San Diego, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, I'm trying to figure out what the hell could have happened. get home.
Mm-hmm. And then you got a Twitter shitstorm.
I get in there, and then the shitstorm begins. And the only reason why people knew, this is how fucked up it is, the only reason why people even knew that something was wrong was because some of the hotels that they had booked had emailed people and told them that their hotel bookings were canceled. And that's when the alarm, there wasn't like a general email out to people who had signed up. Like when I got on my email finally that evening time late, there was like an email from Jamie's Universal thing that said, hey, we're sorry to say that we're postponed. This is terrible, blah, blah, blah. So I read that and it says more information with coming. So I'm thinking more information is going to come. They're going to break it down to us.
So the hotels dropped dime before the organizers.
They still have
hotels being a business that they are.
Yeah.
We don't have our money for this block. Like, for, you know, commission, you block
so
off.
She
like,
blocked off all this stuff.
There were a bunch of rooms blocked off, and the hotel didn't get paid a week. Because a week prior, it's like, hey,
you gotta have
need,
that money.
Shouldn't get off the pot. We need the money. We're a business
here. Right.
You can't blame the hotel at all. It's like the Hyatt, I believe.
And that's when the alarm went off. When people
and
said,
so when people
yeah.
started getting these notes from the hotel saying your shit's canceled, they went to Twitter and said, hey, what's going on, Universal FanCon?
Right.
The hotel's saying
it took them until like late. It was like 11 hours before they sent, even put up something that just said, we are so sorry. We're going to postpone. We'll have more information coming. They still hadn't told us. They tried to blame the hotel,
I
guess.
Postpone.
Listen, how do you postpone a con?
Listen.
When people have flights and vendors. The other thing is the vendors
had already
who had
mailed
collected
and shipped
all their material
and
sending
it
out to Baltimore thinking they're going to sell stuff that weekend and recoup their cost of, you know, their travel, etc.
So anyway, shitstorm. I will now turn it over to you because you got the notes.
Okay. Well, let me go back a little bit. All right. So let me just start with their website. Okay. So you're saying you're going to have an inclusive con. Somebody who's blind posted on Twitter that they did like an accessibility check on the Universal FanCon website. Tons of errors came back.
Really?
So if you're a blind person, where you're supposed to have pictures, you're supposed to give a description.
Right.
Because the programs that the blind people use, it'll read to them what's in the picture. They didn't do any of that, even on their own website.
Wow.
So I'm like, how are you
inclusive
if you're not even thinking about the basic shit on your website?
Right.
Okay.
Well, I'll just say this. Perhaps you don't know that when you designed a website, you had to put in that alt name.
Who are you not? Hiring?
But that's what he said. Is that they brought in a team to help them with
that?
That does.
They had consultants.
If you're doing a con,
Well, then they fucked up,
right?
You know,
right.
How hard is that?
That's not
complicated,
right?
Yeah, hell, you probably even know. Like, I know how to code that, so it reads some sort of text for the freaking.
Well, yeah, because if someone tells you that you had to put a name in the alt name for that situation.
Three people involved are not business people. I don't see CPA after their name. I don't see, you know what I mean? Like, bring in the people that know this stuff. Right. And I guess my overall critique, because I was watching this from a distance. Mm-hmm. When I first heard about Universal FanCon, I was like, I thought it was Universal Studios. I was like, oh, they're doing a con now?
Right.
They're doing their version of like D23, like Disney does? I was like, oh, they're going to talk about Fast and Furious and these monster movies they keep trying to have?
Right.
I was like, is that what it's going to be?
Right.
Oh, good luck with that. Then when you started telling me, oh, no, I'm going into April, I was like, oh, okay, got it.
Right.
So I said I was going to speak about Orlando Jones.
There you go.
So earlier he was one of the people that I guess was involved early on.
Right.
If you look into the details of the documents, there was a not-for-profit arm of Universal FanCon also that was going to raise money for various charities like minority communities, also disabled, wounded warriors type thing. So they had set up like an LLC, Universal FanCon, and a not-for-profit arm. These two, the monies between these two should not ever mix.
Mm-hmm.
It's illegal, right?
Right.
So the not-for-profit arm was apparently started by someone in Orlando Jones's camp. Back in December.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But he sort of quietly disappeared from the scene as far as December goes. Okay. I didn't know anything about Orlando Jones' involvement with this con. All I know is early April, I had a producer call me in like a little bit of a, like with urgency.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, hey, I got this project. You'd be right for it. It's with this actor as a production company. You know, I just want to get you two together so you can talk about the project. I've seen the proof of concept. I got to do this shit now.
Last year.
This April.
Okay, this
early
April. Okay.
Oh, so like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we got to do this shit now. I was like, well, who's the actor? It's Orlando Jones. And I got to do it this week because if we don't do it now, I lose him. He's going into American Gods and he doesn't come out. Like, he's in and that's it. And I won't have connectivity. So when I saw the hair, he was booked for FanCon, I was like, there's no way he's going to be there because I already know because this producer told me that he's not available.
Right.
So that to me, I was like, somebody's lying somewhere. Something doesn't add up.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, we had two former Marines
oh my God.
On the planning committee for this thing. That hurts my heart.
It
so
does.
Bad. Because the one thing we talk about, I don't know, the Marines are a different breed. I'm Air Force. I don't, they're on a different level. They're on a different level, okay? Mm-hmm. Accountability.
Right.
So when the shit falls apart, you should be the first one saying, I did it. Mm-hmm. I screwed up. Right. It's on me. Right. These two dudes.
I have a question.
Hiding in the freaking weeds.
Did those guys get dishonorably discharged? I mean, that's the question I have to ask now at this point. If they're behaving as such.
See, the
way.
Marines, here's the thing with the Marines. Once you're a Marine, you're always a Marine. You're a Marine until you freaking die.
I know. Semper Fidelis, whatever yeah. it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but again, but the thing is, they were putting that shit out there. Yes. It's on their Twitter feed. It's, yes. it's like ex-Marine, co-founder right. of Universe right. FanCon. Right. Okay, fine. All right. So, then we get the shitstorm of these tweets coming out. Initially, it was like no refunds mm-hmm. for this freaking con.
No refunds.
Yeah, they were the first statement they put out was we're not. You know, it's that's it.
We'll use no it for refunds. The next con when
yeah,
we do it.
Exactly.
We'll honor those tickets,
and you'll use those tickets for the next con. And people went nuts as they should.
Yeah.
Because then people start asking, well, where's the money? What'd y'all do with it?
Right.
What do you have to show for it?
Right.
You didn't pay for the hotel rooms.
Right.
See, what now, did y'all pay
now,
for?
This right. this reminds me of the story you tell me about that bursar over at Howard who was kicking it in
yes. Tyrone
taking pictures.
Tyrone. And that was a
having
meme.
Having videographers going around showing.
No, that was a meme
was
for
it?
This.
What was it?
So Tyrone Hankerson at Howard, who stepped off with all the financial
said,
aid money,
they
half
said
a million dollars.
They said he's part of Universal Fan Con.
Yeah, that was
I'm asking. It's funny.
Why
did
we have to ask the question?
Was
why
Tyrone
did we
there
do
too?
Our own like this?
Right.
Why do we do this to our own?
Yes.
When you could easily start small, but and I see the predicament the founders were in. Okay, I know what. They were probably thinking, they were like, if we don't get big guests, these black people won't come.
And the thing was, well, if true. They, if, no, mm-hmm.
right.
Well,
for the most part,
but the people, but when you're a first time con and it's the people that have been ride or die and making those communities, right. they always start small. So even if you get like 200 people, we would have been
I
happy.
Agree.
Right.
I agree.
We would have been
that.
Happy.
You didn't need to do, you, right.
Because
to
what
so
would have happened is we would have been tweeting the pictures, say, hey, we're all right. here, and then people would want to come for
it'll
the next
grow.
One. It'll grow.
Right.
And, oh, well.
It got away from them.
It got away.
Because I think they were like, we're in the hole. We need to get more guests.
And
so
that
people
will,
buy more
that,
tickets.
That
and
were,
it just
yeah.
kept spiraling
that would be an incentive
control.
For people to come through.
I want to play devil's advocate.
Yeah, sure.
I wonder. Now, you were talking about logistics. You know, that's one thing I'm all about. I wonder if, say, getting in Orlando or whatever other guests that they have, they're assuming, because like when you put together your deals and how you're going to work things out and how much money you plan to make, you know, over the whole course of everything, you start going, wow, we already have, let's say, 600 people who bought a ticket for $35. We already have, you know, you start doing all that. You go, then we're getting this, mm-hmm. these celebrities, they're mm-hmm. going to bring in this. Mm-hmm. So that means mm-hmm. we'll get another 1,000 people who can, right, mm-hmm. hold on, let me finish my thought.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if they started spending the money going, oh, we can guarantee.
You spend money you didn't have.
Orlando, as an example, mm-hmm. 10 grand.
But we need to give the money
in,
to show for it.
He's
going to
bring in 10,000 tickets.
And as if yeah. they would spend their money right. so fast.
That is so plausible.
I'm just wondering if.
Who is in charge of finance? That's the thing. I'm looking right. at this board or this panel, like 52 people on this committee.
Mm-hmm.
Who was in charge of the money? Because then afterwards, Jamie and all these people, like all the affiliates, everybody's like, oh, I didn't know nothing about the money. I didn't know anything about it. I was involved with that. So you had 52 people working on a group project.
Sounds and everyone, like Trump. I have the best people. Right, right. I have the best people. Oh, no, not me.
52 people working on a group project.
Right.
Everyone thinks that somebody else is doing the math part.
Mm-hmm.
No, y'all all need to know what the... Because how are you...
Somebody's the executive producer, for God's sake.
Somebody. How are you
somebody's
going,
writing checks.
How are you going out
checks.
Recruiting people to come to the con,
right.
trying to get all these panels and guests set up, and you don't have any idea what the budget is?
Right.
So I think a lot of heat went on Jamie Broadnax because she put out a statement, I think on Saturday.
Right.
And she was like... I wasn't a co-founder.
I was a member.
Just, I was just a member. I was a volunteer. I was just helping them with social outreach.
And then they started scrubbing their pages, their bios and stuff.
Really?
And
yeah,
changing
on LinkedIn,
stuff.
On Twitter, everything.
They were stripped. And then yeah. they kept changing in real time a lot of the statements on the FanCon
yes.
statements.
Really?
So people were taking screenshots of yeah. what was first said and what they were changing in
it
real time.
Somebody was
words,
editing. I suspect
yeah,
it was
editing
Jamie
as we were watching.
Yeah.
Wow. And then, and it gets even worse.
Oh, Lord.
I'll jump into that part. But I'm just saying this. it could have been salvaged.
Yeah.
If you would have just told us 2 months ago.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And said, you know what? We right. have overshot the mark. We apologize. We want to make the best thing. We're going to have to scale down. We're going to postpone. Here's the new dates. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do a smaller hotel thing. We're not going to do convention center. We're going to do this. Because here's what was fucking messed up. When people who got 2 years to get this shit together. Mm-hmm. Nerds of Color, Black Heroes Matter organization, mm-hmm. I think it was Blurred Girl, a couple of people who were already going to be coming to the con and doing right. the stuff anyway, were able to do a pop-up. They yeah. found a space.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Told the vendors who already sent their shit.
It was yesterday.
And said, we found a warehouse that's going to let us bring your shit.
Why Comic-Con?
We're going to still do our own pop-up con. We call it, I think the building's called Wimicon or something.
Why?
Because the building's named yeah. Y something, but they Y-com. Call it Ycom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And basically, vendors who already had their shit there, they had a pop-up. April Ryan was there. Other people who were going to come.
The guy, Cheo from Luke Cage.
Luke Cage came out. I mean, these are people who have been supporting it, mm-hmm. who were going to be there.
Well, I did see a picture.
He was at a panel yesterday or somewhere.
Yeah, that's what it was. There was a pop-up
they
in response
that in
to
seven
this.
Days. Like, the yeah. moment they heard that shit, how can we get this shit together? Because we
well,
know people.
And the advantage was, days. I feel like, somebody in that,
yeah,
cause in that
he was,
group
because he was eating crab cakes in that photo right. I saw.
Thank you.
See,
the advantage in that group is it has somebody boots on ground in Baltimore.
Yep.
That was the problem with the Broadnax and the Butler and all this stuff. Who is boots on ground in Baltimore? Because there
somebody.
Were tons of people, mm-hmm. you know, in the comic book world in Baltimore. They were like, we didn't know this con was coming here. Oh. They didn't know anything about it. Like, who did you have locally advertised?
This is the problem. This is the problem, right? This is what they should have done. There's a museum, I think it's called the Geppi, G-E-P-P-I Museum in Baltimore, mm-hmm. which is like a comic book only museum. Because okay. I had some artwork in there, like in I think 3 years ago, they did a show to celebrate the Milestone Media 25th anniversary thing or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you should have had the con, you should have piggybacked with them, used
did
their space.
Did you go to the city?
And use their space.
Did yeah. you vet did the you, city?
Because a week prior, you're canceling this thing, you should have been walking the freaking rooms. And making sure, will wheelchair fit yeah. here?
Logistics.
With your measuring tape. Like, right. that's a final walkthrough
exactly.
a week prior. You know, the details.
Well, no, because if your plan is to do Universal FanCon and address disabilities, then the decision to what venue to use, they should be measuring
for
that.
For sure. Yeah. I assume
like,
they'd
like
already
2 years
done that.
Ago.
I assume the reason why you picked the Baltimore Convention Center was
because
it was accessible.
That's exactly what
accessible.
I was saying.
Yeah.
And so by the time you get the week prior, you're just like, okay, you're just doing minor tweaks.
Right.
You're not doing,
right.
oh my God, a wheelchair won't fit in this elevator.
Right.
No, we're beyond that.
Right. So there was a lot of non-accountability.
Yes.
A lot of statements that weren't saying anything.
Finger pointing.
A lot of finger pointing. And everybody's like, y'all, so
who's got the money?
Who yeah. made decisions? So all
so
this
then,
stuff's going down.
Who's
then,
on vacation next
who's
week?
Who's on third? Who,
is I'm going to know.
Now, on
who's
top of this.
Who's in Capri or Hawaii?
Now, the plot thickens.
Yes,
because.
Does. Yes, it does.
You got to remember, I think it was last year when Jamie made the announcement that she was now, she had quit her job.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. And now that she was like full time doing the black, like she was becoming.
She put out a statement in March about I'm transitioning from LLC to.
501c,
making Black Girl Nerds or LLC. Finally, in March, okay. she put an open letter, which
right.
I'll talk about when you're done.
And, you know, so we're like, hey, we're growing, we're getting right. stuff. So that's why I'm thinking, wow, she's able to quit her job mm-hmm. and focus full time. Right. They must have got baller money, and this is going to be a big whoop de doo. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, now that all the fallout, people are like, where's the refunds? They were still saying it's like they're supposed to have like Infinity Wars premiere there mm-hmm. and inviting people to come out. Like Thursday, they had the thing where we can all meet and go to the movies together. And then when all this shit went down, they said, oh, we're sorry for this postponement, but y'all can still come and see the
still
movie.
Still come hang and watch
like,
Infinity Wars.
Who the fuck's going to fly to Baltimore
no.
to see it? Y'all going to catch hands. If you,
yeah.
you asking for your death warrant. You asking,
and
you
that's
asking
when,
to be on
that's
the news.
When Robert Butler came out and was like, I've been receiving death threats.
And
one of the organizers, right. he came out and was like, I've been receiving death threats.
You know what?
Death threats.
Listen. People have lost their businesses because of this.
The vendors are living on slim margins, right?
That's true. They
so,
are. They very much
you
are.
Know, if you up and cancel a con a week prior,
right.
yeah.
Yeah. So just it's just terrible. Like the whole weekend, I was just like devastated because I was just like, not just for me, but the fact that so many people that I knew who are marginalized that I follow on Twitter, mm-hmm. who were so excited about finally being able to go to a space that it's centering them, supporting them, and getting to see all the, it's not going to happen, and there's no recourse. There's no refunds, no accountability. There's no nothing.
That's right, because the vendors follow like they do at like the Grateful Dead concerts and shit, don't they?
Look, you predict how much merchandise you have. You sell. Make that. You purchase that because
you ship it.
At this point, you're thinking it's a go. Right. Because if any event that's not going to happen, usually they'll give you 2 months because you have to give them at least 60 days.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, wow.
To say that nothing's going to happen, especially when your talent, your panels, you have legally in a contract, you got to give them at least 60 days.
Because this shit's happened before.
Yes. Stuff happens in real life. Other cons have done that. So that's your fail safe by 60 days. And we would have been fine with that. I'm speaking for myself. Mm-hmm. If we knew like, hey, we overshot, and that's okay. It's a first con. Well, guess what? We'll make it. We don't care. We just wanted to see each other.
That one gentleman posted that video. I don't know what his relation is to the organizers. He posted a video saying, we knew there were money issues in February.
What?
Who was on the committee? It's like, well, why didn't y'all say anything? Why is everybody so mum? And then it gets into this cult of personality thing. People were like, I knew something was weird, but I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to get blacklisted. Then we started in this whole thing on Twitter about people getting blacklisted from BGN, getting blacklisted by Jamie Broadnax.
Right.
You know, if you speak against the free, like, and I know it's a tough situation. Who wants to come out and say there's some fucked up shit going on with this con that's supposed to be including LGBT minorities and disabled people? Mm-hmm. You want to be that person? Like the first guy through the door always gets the bloodiest, right? So I could see why people were quiet, but enough of y'all knew whispering in corners that you didn't have the money.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had resignations on the day of the cancellation. Like that morning, somebody from the...
Right.
Director of Entertainment for the con.
Melanie Dion, I think is her name.
She resigned on Twitter, and then the cancellation notice came.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, if y'all knew stuff was going on, say something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are we...
You know why? Because, look, there was an article...
Hubris?
You know what? Yeah, is it an NDA or something?
Well, no, but it's...
I heard that rumor that there were NDAs sent to all the affiliates.
There might have been NDAs, but it's like... But, you know, I've been listening to a couple of podcasts radio stories the last couple of months or so about... Tim Geithner and the guys who did the TARP bailout and everything like that, and all those guys, and they were saying that, you know, they asked them, well, why did you guys let, you know, like Bear Stearns, you know, this whole thing, they saved Bear Stearns, but they didn't save the thing with Dick Flood, but they were saying to themselves, we can solve this. We and people don't want to admit that something is going to fail. They feel the momentum, and they always think that there is a way out. The hubris is not necessarily that we're better than you. The hubris is that I can't take the shame of failing.
Right.
You know, that is something that people have. I mean, like shame is such a difficult thing to deal with.
Oh,
I mean, it's that
people kill themselves with shame.
Well, you know, there's that great line in that movie, The Edge with Anthony Hopkins in the woods with the bear.
Oh, right,
you know?
Right, right.
And he said, most of the people die in the woods is that from shame.
Mm.
You know, he has this whole concept about like because people don't want to admit that they can't solve a problem, and it just eats them up.
Here's the other thing I think about the organizers too, and why they didn't know what was going on with the money. Like they pushed off maybe on this Ty Pham dude or whoever else that was has been implicated. This Tom Leonard, who apparently is a bot. If you read that article written by Women Right for Commons, he's apparently a bot. You know, whatever. I think those three, the three people in charge, I think they were living and breathing and looking forward to that moment at the con, that opening night or whatever, where there's 10,000 people in the crowd and they get to walk out on stage to adulation and cheers and be like, hi, I'm so-and-so, co-founder of Universal FanCon. Everyone goes crazy and screaming their name. I think they had that in their brain.
That vision.
They had that exactly and did not get into details on where's the money? What are we using the money for?
And the inexperience and, you know.
How do you plan it? How do you plan
it? Let me go back on this Jamie Broadnax thing because she wrote that open letter in March. And I don't know this girl. I don't have real any ties to Black Girl Nerds whatsoever. A long time ago, I kind of made the decision that I'm not down with y'all. Like, I'm not interested in what y'all are doing. And it's not for me. Bless the people who are involved in it. You like it, great. It's not for me.
Right.
So anyway, She put out this statement when she decided to make it an LLC, because I had assumed, because it's been going on for years, I'd assume it was already a business and she was making money off of it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Come to find out, she hasn't been paying the writers.
Yeah, I mean, like, how are you not getting money? I mean, getting money, like, it's little money to set up an LLC. Very little money.
Right.
And it protects you from a lot of shit. And if you're so... I have to say it. If you're so stupid that you won't set up early, then you're begging for trouble.
Mm. Right.
Begging for trouble.
Well, she had been advised by some of the black girl nerds involved who have a little finance background, business background, like, hey, make this LLC. Then you can start, like, maybe selling ads. I don't know. You can sort of monetize it a little bit.
Right.
Because nobody's getting paid, even though there's like a Patreon, but none of
that. That's what Joelle was talking about.
Right. Yeah. I was shocked to find out that weekend that no one had been getting paid for their writing. But anyway, she put out an open letter in March. And sometimes, y'all, you need to listen to people when they're telling you
words.
Who and what they are.
Right.
She's telling you what she is. Listen to this.
Tell it.
Here's her letter. I know I'm not the best leader, and I know I don't have the business savvy or know-how to run a company. She put it in the letter. So why? Sometimes we worship at the feet of false prophets.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Sometimes we are so looking for a savior that we're like, oh, no, it's her. She's telling you. She's not good at business.
Right.
She's not good at leadership. Right. To me, as a Gen Xer, when I see somebody putting that in writing, I'm like, ding, 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 ding.
Yes.
No, 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 no. I'm not following you because you lack, you know, you lack a lot here.
Right.
And that's one thing to say. If someone said, it's a difference between, I'll give you an example because this is a screenplay podcast after all.
Right.
I'm not a good writer versus I did not write good pages. You see the difference there?
Right.
Because I can work with the second half. I was like, I didn't write good pages. You and I can work together.
Right.
You say, I'm not a good writer. Motherfucker, you've given up. I got nothing to do.
I'm stepping aside.
I'm stepping over you.
There's
no foundation. The house is falling apart.
What were we talking about on the we were trading texts? That's called self-lynching.
Yes.
Ooh.
Hello.
Mm.
Hello. You know, and with the whole black girl nerd, the one thing that people need to understand, and this is when, of course, when stuff goes downhill, all the skeletons start coming out the closet.
Yeah.
And all kinds of shit started coming out where other...
You gotta look at me when you say it, though.
Black girl nerds writers who had left were coming out, and people were saying, oh, they're just jumping on to be mean. It's like, no, I think they felt like, just like the Me Too moment and all that, they felt safe where they can finally speak and say some things and say,
Joelle went in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Joelle, like, man, God bless you, Joelle, and Lauren, all the rest of them, like, all my homies that I follow on Twitter that a lot of us met because of black girl nerds, because they were doing some cool... And for a lot of them, it was their first time getting bylines and connecting.
There was a scandal 2 days ago
where
bylines were removed.
Yes.
So there was a mass exit.
So let's talk about that.
There's a mass exit. So anyway, all the stuff goes down. So finally, when stuff was going down, all of a sudden, certain writers were just leaving. Like, you know what? I'm done. I can't take this anymore. Because people were confusing Jamie, black girl nerds, and then implicating all the other
black girl nerds in the universal fan
and the universal stuff,
and that's not the case.
It was really just
Jamie Broadnax.
It wasn't my people. Like a lot of my Twitter friends, like they've lost stuff. Like one of my Twitter peeps, Steph, she's no longer going. She used to do a thing called Misty Knight's Uninformed Afro podcast where they talk about Misty Knight, and she was doing. She stepped away from that.
Yeah.
Because she can't do the podcast anymore because of the reputation. Mm-hmm. And so
the brand took a huge hit with this FanCon thing.
Yeah. And a lot of them now, writers, they're worried now they're not going to be able to get gigs or writing stuff because their name is tarnished or connected to that. So anyway, one of the things everybody kept saying, how can we save black girl nerds? And the only way they could save it is that Jamie has to leave or step away from it. And some people are like, well, she's not going to do that. That's her baby.
Right.
I'm like, well, she's going to have to do something because the BGN name is dirt now.
Wow.
So then they said, so she stepped away.
It's like the Weinstein company.
It is. So she stepped away.
She got Weinstein.
She stepped away. They put another person another woman who's in charge of it now. And then as that was happening, that person, she put out a statement that she accidentally happened. But all of a sudden, all the names from all the writers' bylines were changed to guest blogger. So content they had put up for years, they had gone in and changed it to just guest blogger, taking people's names off their
and
work.
And mind you, a lot of them did not get paid for their work. Yes. So now you're going to take their byline away on top of that? That is a slap in the face.
Yes.
Why do we do each other like
this? So a lot of my other Twitter friends were tweeting out stuff. Shout out to Womanist Nerd, my fellow black native sis, who was posting up things to show them how to get their stuff. Like, we were trying to tell people, keep your stuff in PDF. Well, if they're scrubbing this, here's some sites, some things you can do to get your work back and all that stuff. And other people were tweeting things out.
Because I was just wondering, is that why, playing the devil's advocate again, is that why she may have taken them and changed it to guests to protect them?
No.
I'm just wondering.
The timing of this.
The timing is too bad.
The timing was too spiteful.
Okay, so two things. One, you know, that site, I think it's still there. It's called the Wayback Machine.
Yes.
You know, and it just takes stamp photos of previous sites. Now, something my brother's telling me the other day is he was like, stuff doesn't really get deleted on the web.
Right.
It just gets turned off because the database, you know, like if entry like 112 is deleted, then that means that 113 jumps down and all things that were like linked to 113 are now have to be changed.
Right.
So they just turn off 112.
Right.
But it's still there somewhere. And I mean, to take people's bylines away, you know, it sounds very Orwellian to me.
It doesn't sound like an organized business, does it?
And it's criminal because if people aren't paying and not getting paid, you know, you should never do that with your writing. That's so terrible. But it's just, I mean, look, I saw Janelle's thing the other day, and I was kind of like, what's she so upset about?
You know?
And I said it like, and I just started reading a couple of little tweets, you know, her posts, and I was like, okay, this is like way too much for me to get into because I don't have time to like.
I kind of did the same. I just read a little bit.
I was like, okay, this is this, you know, this is this quagmire of situation. But now you guys explain it more. I mean, look, this is this whole thing that I say, it's just like with revolutions, right? People who are the revolutionary cannot be the president afterwards.
Yes.
Because the skill
set. Please say that.
The skill set to be a revolutionary is not the skill set to govern.
Exactly.
And so I feel like with Jamie Broadnax, it's like you have the ability to be this champion and this like of what's happening and come with this idea, but you don't have the skill set to execute it.
And may I just jump in
and
here?
And transferred over.
Here's what I have to say though, because there are lots of other nerd organizations that were there before Black Girl Nerds
and will be there after.
Or, and I think what's getting lost in a lot of the stuff is people think that Black Girl Nerds is the
place
only
to go.
Hub.
No,
there's tons.
Or be a rogue wolf in the streets like I am. I'm not tied to anybody.
Some of my favorite people, Nerdgasm Noir. Shout out to Nanny Kujay and all them. I'll see most of y'all at WisCon next month. You know, they've been doing this work and doing stuff for like years. You know, just so many other people out there that are doing things. Nerds of Prey. I mean, just everybody.
Yeah.
You know, Fan Brothers, all those people who have been doing the work even beforehand. And like I said, it was
the
funny. Because some people are thinking, oh, it's going to fracture and it's going to ruin the whole community.
It's already fractured. Based on these tweets I saw this weekend, it's already fractured. I mean, it was
it will heal and we'll move on. This too shall pass.
So this is like
people who now we know who to watch out for have been revealed. Hopefully most of them. Mm-hmm. And people, I'm hoping this will be a learning experience. Like if you're going to do some shit, have your ducks in a row and be
also,
ready.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, you finish with
well, that. Well, I'm going to say this Twitter mob mentality.
So yes, because I totally missed this part.
Has got to fucking stop. Because what I saw happening in Black Girl Nerds, which is why I never got down with them, is that and this came out over the weekend that Jamie would have sick her followers on people that she didn't like or they said something she didn't like or whatever.
Can you go back and just tell them what, because I must have been gone on time because usually, like I said, Linnell's not on all the time on Twitter.
No.
I am.
No.
So when she said all this stuff happened, I'm like, where the hell was I? Because I would have been jumping in like, what the hell is going on? So explain what happened.
Okay, a month and a half ago, I got on Twitter and I was like, hey, y'all. A lot of people out here dancing on the grave of some of these female-driven movies that are coming out and getting rolled over by Black Panther.
Right.
Careful. Mm-hmm. Careful. Don't cheer the demise of a film with a female protagonist like Wrinkle, and it was the Red Sparrow, and then there was Tomb Raider.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then so some of the Black Girl Nerds came out and like attacking me like, what the fuck? I was like, whoa. You're not talking to some amateur over here. You're talking to somebody that has like a couple TV credits, MFA and screenwriting. Like I kind of know what I'm talking about a little bit. But no, the anger was all in.
Right.
Then I said, hey, look, If you guys love Black Panther, cool. I had some issues with the film, and they were this, this, and this. Yeah. And then it was on. Then they started, like, here's what they do.
How did I miss this?
Here's what they do.
Jesus.
Then they go and tag their friends and be like, look at what so-and-so's saying on Beyonce's internet. Ain't this some bullshit? And they get into this mob, and they all want to come after me. I was like, okay, fine, come. Let's debate it. This went on for like a day and a half. Let's just debate it. I got responses. And then I found out some of them gave up on a debate, and then they decided to go to their own pages and take screenshots and drag me. I was like, okay. I said, and I know who all of you are. And let this be a lesson. Some of y'all Black girl nerds, karma is a bitch, okay? Mm. So y'all, some of y'all, not all of y'all, certainly not all of you, a few of you were running around, you know, you finally got empowered in some capacity. This is what happens. You're disenfranchised. You end up in this group on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You're part of something. Now you have a little bit of power. And now you guys collectively decide to just recreate the hierarchy that's already out here in America and just roll over other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's not any better, right? So, I don't know what the point of the story was, but that was my thing. I just got tired of the fucking Black groupthink, okay? Mm-hmm. We don't all have to think the same.
Right.
I felt like with the BGN, a lot of them were like, if you don't love Black Panther, you're anti-Black. No, stop that. Stop that, okay? I'm not anti-anything, anybody. I watch a film, I critique it, I pick it apart. That's what I do.
Right.
When I see that this, you guys are calling
it. I had problems with it, too.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. And it's sad that we have to hide in corners.
I loved it, but I had problems with it.
I had problems with it.
Right.
It's like, visually, I thought it was gorgeous. Right. Stunning. But some of the female characters, no. And that's what I said. I was like, look, me as a woman, I wasn't feeling some of these female characters. Right. Okay? And it was like, ow. Then I got accused of colorism. You're just mad because the dark-skinned Black women on screen.
Wow.
Yeah. Lisa, it was nuts. And I was like, all because I'm over here saying an opinion? I was like, I can't get down with this Black group thing because what it does is lemmings go off the cliff. Y'all want to anoint Jamie as your leader, even though she's told you she can't lead, she can't govern, she can't do the things she need to do, but y'all all want to be behind her.
Yeah, it's like when my critique of Black Panther was, I said, if I was writing a script, there's no way in hell you're going to have a white dude from the CIA shooting down Black people out of the sky when we know the history of the CIA. And this is a whole bunch of other things, too.
Oh,
but it was like, but you know what?
Like
but yeah, but you know what? I was there for Black Joy. And I totally get the critiques. I totally get the critiques
that was the point my brother and I had talked about. We were like, you know, it would have been interesting if the guy who plays the Falcon...
If Sam was there, Sam Wilson?
If Sam Wilson was the one
that was
as opposed to the CIA guy. Yeah. Because then, you know, I think that would have been more interesting in terms of tying it into the rest of the Avengers storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think it would be interesting if he was, but then I was like, but he's caught in the... He's caught on the island prison or whatever it is.
Yeah.
How does he get out? But then it's like, well, then you could have had, what's his name? You could have had the guy.
Don Cheadle.
You could have Don Cheadle. I mean, there's a bunch of ways to have done it. Or the thing that I don't like is that in the S.H.I.E.L.D. mythology, you know, there's Nick Fury and there's like three or four guys who were part of his commando unit who switched over to the S.H.I.E.L.D. And there was a Black guy in there. And I think this was interesting is that when they made Fury Black, they took out that Black character.
Because you can't have more than one Black person.
Back to the Last Jedi of it all.
Yes.
We started
this. We can't have
and I'm kinda like,
two of y'all. The tipping point's too much.
You know, and I'm just kind of like, well, that's an interesting point you brought that up. I mean, I always feel that it's very difficult to critique Black cinema because people will jump on you in ways that they wouldn't on non-Black cinema.
Right.
And the type of critique. I mean,
especially in this Twitter age, we didn't.
Yeah, and it's a mob mentality.
I mean, look, there's a guy. I'll mention his name. I mean, like, I don't agree with him at all on anything, but he had an interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this guy Richard Spencer, you know, he's total fucking alt-right guy, everything like that. Mm-hmm. But he was talking about, okay, if a movie like Black Panther was made with white people, then y'all be fucking on our asses where it's, you know, everything about
But we
that.
Get a White Panther movie and all the time now. What are you talking about?
Yeah, right, exactly. Exactly. But the thing is that he can't even really say that because he's going to get attacked in a certain way that is
But it doesn't even make any, I'm just going to be real, it doesn't even make any sense because, like you said, Lisa,
every superhero every that comes out. Yeah.
Okay, no, that's
the, we just started including black folks in the last time.
I mean, what the hell was,
it took Marvel 10 years to do Black Panther.
I get that, but okay, so this is a point that I was saying to my brother. I said, oh yeah, that's right, because you know why? This is why Marvel changed Thor. Like Thor in the movies is different than Thor in the comics.
Right.
Thor in the movies, he's the alien. But Thor in the comics, he's a Norse god.
He's a Norse god,
and
yeah.
I said, you know what? If they made him a Norse god, then they're just giving the, you know, like the alt-right their kind of like hero.
Well, you can only cast it with a bunch of Norwegians.
Right. There would be no Idris in that.
There'd be none of that. Right. You know, and I think that's a smart choice that Marvel did that because they know they've seen this in the past. Where
they know their people.
they've seen it in the past that they know that if we do it this way, this is going to happen. Right. And I realized, oh yeah, see, so like that's how Richard Spencer is totally like he's twisting it out of like what's really happening, because you're right, like we do need this, but I feel like there just can't be those oppositional voices. It doesn't matter who it is.
We don't grow,
you know,
if we don't.
If we can't critique our own stuff,
you won't grow.
I agree.
Like I'm coming at it as a professional, like, you know, looking at storytelling wise, female characters wise, I'm just like, no, I have issues with it. And then it's like this lynch mob comes after you. It's like, okay, so we all just, This is the same stereotype we're trying to buck. Y'all are reinforcing it, that we're all some monolith, that all black people eat the same, talk the same, like the same shit. Right. We don't.
Right.
So yeah, let's have little different fractured sets, and you find whatever tribe speaks to you, and you get in that tribe and be happy.
But see, we talk about this at the Writers Guild a lot, about sometimes there are, and me and Pamela talk about this a lot too, sometimes there are people, there are movies, there are things, there are musicians who get chosen.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. That movie in particular got chosen.
For sure.
Moonlight got chosen.
Yeah. Sure.
Now, that's not taking away the skills. I'm not saying
Right.
I'm just saying that
they
sometimes...
They're anointed.
That's the word I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes things get anointed. Once they get that anointing, everybody jumps on.
Yep.
It's like when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like that same type of thing. And what I feel is that sometimes people get that little... I think Jamie Foxx called it that fairy dust.
Yes.
They get that little thing and... It's not that it's the best thing ever.
It's not.
But everybody jumps on board with it as if it is. And if you say one negative thing against it, it's like you're the Antichrist. Some bullshit. So I see where you're going.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, and that's true. And I think that's like doubly... it's doubly valid for black films. And, and obviously because, you know, there's so few that come out that get to kind of like... the national media and things like that, but I'm kind of like, I don't see. I mean, it's like you were saying, if you're a professional, you can critique the movie outside of what it is being.
Right.
People are
like you know, like if that's part of your tribe, like if you're black, can you look at this movie to a certain way and say, did they do this? You know, you know, like. Why is this a classic film? Like is it now and everything like this? And it's like, well, perhaps it's not.
Right. Because, ask that question.
But the thing is, like, are you really making that objective choice? It's like I said all along. The biggest thing that bothered me about Black Panther is that I don't know why the finale battle is two black men in black suits in black cavern.
Yes. You barely see him.
I'm just like, really?
Cousin on cousin.
Why did you do that?
Cousin on cousin.
Right.
Like, I mean, look, the cousin on cousin thing is fine because that's how...
Well, we've already seen brother kill brother and then cousin kills cousin.
Yeah. Okay, look, that's like a trope you see in literature all the time. Goes back to Cain and Abel. But I'm just kind of like, they don't need to be in black suits in a black cavern. That makes that sequence not as strong because visually, you can't see really what's happening.
No,
like,
you can't.
Well, you're like, what the hell? I mean, like, is that a fight a cool fight? No. And I say no because we can't see if it was or wasn't.
Because there was nothing to contrast to the
cancer.
Right.
You know,
I mean, that's a fight. Look, people love those kind of like hand-to-hand fights. Like, if you look at Daredevil.
I gotta
Daredevil,
see the hands.
Right. There's that shot in the second episode of Daredevil. Born shit, you know, the Raid movies. Mm-hmm. People want to see that shit.
Right.
And if you cut that out because you made some, you know, like... like some poor graphic design choice, I need to take you to task for that. Right. Mm-hmm. I need to take you to task for that because right. that's the thing. And it's, and it's something else I said is a huge mistake with that is that scene that everybody loves at the end when he's talking about, you know, kill me, you know, blah, blah, blah. Don't shoot that on the soundstage with fucking CG. Just fuck that whole moment up really completely. I mean, to me, you do because right. it's like you talk about how Africa, like throughout the thing, has got the sunset and the sky mm-hmm. of Wakanda.
It's the most beautiful.
It's the most beautiful right. thing. And, you know, and if you go, I mean, and look, and one of the things you love about seeing like all those Nat Geo photographs of right. Africa is that sunset type of look, that sky, what's going on, the atmosphere there is so different. And it, you know what?
Yes. Oh, go buy some really good stock footage. Go. Do something.
Yeah. They have the budget. They could have
shot that.
And then send your second or third unit over
exactly.
to Africa.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just hang around, wait
exactly.
for sunset.
Exactly.
Like, get that.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, and at that point, it's still like, it's still, you know, it's green screen and stuff like that. So it's not totally the same, but it's like, that was a problem to me that I was like, that's such a great moment. And you kind of like, you know, just did a B, you know, it's like a B job on it. And, mm-hmm. And it's, it's kind of the heart of the film, right. you know. I mean, I was telling somebody the other day. I was like, you know what? I don't know what the deal is. I mean, yes, you're shooting that movie and shooting Infinity War at the same time. All the cast is being used, and you have this hard time like scheduling stuff like that. But it's like, hey, you know what? You walk up to Kevin Feige and say, hey, here's like my money from the movie. Here's my salary. I'm like, I'll pay for 4 days to go.
I don't think they know. I don't think actors. No stuff like that.
No, but the director and look.
Oh, you're saying like Ryan should have done that.
Look, that's something that I know that James Cameron did on Titanic. Mm-hmm. So the whole story about Titanic, I blow over budget and blah blah blah. And he's like, here, take all my money, take right. everything I make on this. I mean, like my salary, so I can mm-hmm. shoot more.
I can go shoot.
I still want my points,
right?
But take all my money,
right?
And it paid off,
right?
Now that's
right.
a big gamble. Perhaps right. he couldn't. Perhaps Cougar couldn't have done that mm-hmm. because of where he is in his career.
Right.
And
right. yeah, right.
that was his first
and
one.
And his first. It is Marvel,
and
right?
all this kind of stuff. But it's like, you know, those people involved in that were like. They knew when they probably saw that footage or read that in the script, fuck, that's the moment of the movie. So we can't skimp it. Mm-hmm. Because in like a year from now, 2 years from now, and I go watch that at home on like Netflix, it's going to look bad because the CGI kind of inherently always looks bad when you bring it down.
Right.
I'm just kind of like,
unless we're all on 4K, 8K TVs when you watch it.
You know, it's just, I finally get that going. I mean, but look, so... That's a critique to the movie. It's not taken away from the movie.
That doesn't make you anti-black.
Right.
And we need to make that distinction between just because you're criticizing black people in the case of this Universal Fan Con, we sat here criticizing them for almost an hour now and how they ran this thing. Right. That does not make us anti-black.
Right. Or anti-trying to get the message.
I don't care what color you are, you didn't have your shit together. And we're critiquing your lack of organization.
And we're going to call you to task for it.
Hold your faves accountable. I've seen that.
And a lot of us won't hold our faves accountable because we're just like, oh, and just like you said, the whole fallback of people being afraid to speak out or we didn't want to say anything. You know what? We can't afford for you not to say anything.
So I was going to ask a question earlier.
Yes.
I think Chris was leading to it at one point. So you know how it is like, so let's just say Ryan did Black Panther and it made $40 million. Mm. That would have been a flop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it didn't. Say it did.
Okay.
Everybody remember like, see, we gave him a big movie. Now he can't even do it. Mm. Hear my point.
Yes.
Are we having this issue now with this Universal Fan Con? We're like, see, they had their opportunity to make some shit, and they couldn't do it. I'm wondering, are we going to get a backlash?
White folks? For sure. People, well, no, not so much white people. Even amongst our own community, I've seen a lot of, you know, black nerds on Twitter saying, well, you know, I'm going to make sure I don't give my money to someone else trying to do a first-year con. I'm not going to give to a Kickstarter, you know, because I didn't get my refund yet. Some people still haven't got refunds yet, if ever.
I haven't got refunds.
So there's a lot of wariness. Like, there's this Wakanda con supposed to go off in Chicago this summer.
And people were tweeting them. That's supposed to be a one-day thing.
Right.
And they're like, y'all need to look at this fan con. And they were saying, who are your people?
What not to do?
Who's organizing you? Who are your people?
Who are you vetted? The blue plate.
Right.
What not to do?
What not?
But I'm worried about
It hurts all artists because every time somebody, like me, I've thought about a couple times, like, yeah, I should do a Kickstarter for this project I'm thinking of, or GoFundMe or whatever social, you know, crowdfunding thing you want to use. And I'm like, man, I don't know, because First of all, you once you take a dollar from someone for this Kickstarter crowdfunding mm-hmm. thing, you're kind of accountable to that person. Like, you need to give them the something. Product or the whatever promises you made. Because right, right. these fools at FanCon promised a lot. And mm-hmm. you're in a business relationship with the people who backed the Kickstarter.
There was one person
oh, Lord,
from the Kickstarter. I know this makes me
it
hurt.
Hurts my heart.
They paid $5,000
what
for the VIP treatment.
Mm-hmm. You should see the list of things they promised.
And then he tweeted. Person. He says, "Record scratch." So you might want to see what happened. How I paid $5,000. He ain't get that money back.
And, see, and more see, importantly, it's not the money, but it's like he was promised like access to celebrities, autographs, no waiting in lines. He was promised like red carpet right, style right, treatment
right. At a first year con. Like, who's no? That's not what the con is for.
See again. That's like how you run it. It's like. You know, the whole thing is you gotta always.
He's writing that off anyway. If he's smart,
yeah. But the whole thing is you have to under promise and then over deliver.
There you go.
And yeah. If you're gonna put all these, I mean, that's the thing that I think hurts people when they do Kickstarters and stuff is they create all these kind of giveaways right. and stuff yep. like that.
Yep. That's why they really, end up with 17 you know, producers on them because they didn't plan.
Look, and the I mean. To a certain degree, it's like, okay, look, if you take someone's money, you're accountable to them. But that's kind of like the whole kind of the thing that happens in this business with everything. That's what entertainment is. You don't, you put some, with anything, you take someone's money, then you're accountable to them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's like you have to be comfortable enough in knowing that you can deliver. Because ultimately, if you can't deliver, that hurts you more than if you deliver badly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Know?
Right.
Delivering nothing hurt them more than at least delivering something that this weekend.
At least, like, we were joking. At least that. What was that one thing? The fire festival. The one that
at least they had bologna sandwiches.
At least they had their little mayonnaise sandwiches.
Right. They had the people went down there and they had little tents yeah. and bologna sandwiches and dirt.
Sandwiches.
At least they had that.
We didn't get none of that.
Because at least some of them. Well, here's the thing, though. You went down there on that island for that fire thing. I bet you made some boys or some girls. Like you right. made some people. Like we're in this shit together. That's right. how friendship evolves.
Right.
Not being hitting Twitter and likes.
Right.
It's being in some shit together.
Right.
And being like, all right, how do we get out of this? How do right. we overcome? But they're still in communication with some of the people they met there.
Well, you know, hey, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to be hopeful. As I was telling Geek Soul Brother yesterday.
He's been quiet. And I feel like he and I are of a like mind sometimes where it's like, we're tired of millennial foolery.
Yeah.
We're tired of
yes.
it.
Yes. He's just like, I'm just sitting in the cut. Like, because he was like, hey, Geek Soul Brother. We, you know, we're just like looking at this and we're just like, we hope it doesn't fracture the community too much. We're hoping that, you know, we just do better and we learn from it and then we grow from this. But I was just telling him, I was just bummed. I said, one day we're all going to meet together and hang out and like laugh in person. But it's kind of like, it's a bit overwhelming for a lot of people. And, you know, it's just disappointing.
Here's what I want to say. I saw black women going after black women on this entire weekend, you know, specifically in the nerd community, right. like just going at it. And what I want to say is, again,
and we're the outsiders.
what I want to say is, like, y'all, okay, every now and again, get off Twitter. Stop with this mob shit. Stop attacking. Stop going in. Stop it. You're raising your cortisol, mm-hmm. which is keeping all of us chubby and fat. Right. Okay, come to find out. And also, do some time for some self care.
Exactly.
When are you meditating? When you work? I was like, I'm looking at some of these people, and I'm not trying to be mean girl or whatever. But some of y'all look like you need to take a few walks here and there.
Damn.
Okay? I'm just saying, like,
take care of ourselves.
Take care
yeah.
of yourself. Right. Get to the gym. Do something. Mm-hmm. Like, stop. We spend all the time putting this anger out on Twitter and going at each other and oh, he said this. He said this about black. Because there was this one guy who wrote a review or article about Black Panther in the box office and how that's hurting the business too. And he made valid points, but nobody even wanted to read the article because they saw a white face. And right. I don't know what article.
Hi, Scott Mendelson. Scott, you're supposed to be coming in
yes,
here
Scott,
on the podcast, Scott.
Yes. I thought.
Oh, that's it. See, this interesting thing because.
From Forbes,
just,
yeah.
Just
yeah, that's what it was.
Right. Yeah, they were talking about that. I mean,
they attacked that man so hard, and I was like, did you even read it?
See, that's the thing. This is what I was saying earlier. It's like you're in a situation now where you, like you're risking the ire of too much by criticizing anything that's black. It's really mm-hmm. like really, really like difficult situation for someone right. to be in. And I kind of feel like it's just like what you guys said earlier. If you can't take the critique, then you can't grow.
Right.
And that is just.
But see, that's like criticizing a movie and you haven't even seen it yet.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not even going to go see it. Like, have you seen it? They didn't do that thing you thought they were going to do.
It's that bullshit. Right. You know what I mean? I remember that bullshit when fucking, what's the guy who fucking, Bob Dole was talking about, oh, we shouldn't see natural born killers and blah, blah, blah. First question.
Whatever. Mr. Dole. Senator Dole, have you seen it?
No, not yet, but my people. Well, then shut the fuck up. Yes.
You know, sit down, sir.
Right.
Tipper Gore. I don't. You know what? Don't hear those lyrics. Don't hear those lyrics on the NWA album. Have you heard it? No. Well, then.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't do that.
Hypocrisy. You know? Any last thing in there, Linnell, for you?
We didn't talk about LeVar Burton. LeVar Burton. Let's put a cap on it with LeVar Burton and his tweet about the Universal Fan Con. So the finale of this whole debacle, it was basically going on for a week. Uh-huh. LeVar Burton, I think,
was he planning to go or something?
I don't know.
He was an early supporter in terms of talking about it on his Twitter feed, encouraging all of us to be supportive of one another, and was really behind the concept behind Black Girl Knows and Jamie, and just really.
Do you remember Adeep? He used to work with
Desai. Pilar.
He works with him.
Mm-hmm.
He works over there.
Right.
Go ahead.
And
oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And basically, a couple of days. Do you have his tweet?
I need you to read it exactly. I need to read
because
it.
Put it this way.
I need to read
I had
it
to tweet
for
out.
Stall for me while
I play. Had to tweet out to when I read that tweet. Mm-hmm. You know, from Mr. Reading Rainbow himself.
Right.
From all of us in our younger days of learning how to read books. For those of us who remember from way back, you know. Jordan LaForge, all of that, you know, from way back from Roots, like he's been like one of our elders.
Yeah, yeah.
One of our elders.
And there's nothing I felt was lacking in this. Respect your damn elders. Billy D, LeVar, all these people you're bringing in.
So he put out,
don't waste their time with your fuckery.
He put out this tweet that she's going to read.
Okay.
And when I read that, I felt so ashamed. And that's what my tweet said. Like, I feel so ashamed. I ain't do shit. What do you say?
All right, here's the tweet from LeVar Burton. As an early supporter, I am extremely distressed and disappointed by the shit show that Universal FanCon has become. Thank God for WakamaCon. And then he posted the picture of the WakamaCon pop-up.
The one in Chicago?
Mm-hmm. No, the one in Baltimore.
Yeah,
the pop-up they made to remedy the vendors and everyone traveling.
And does it have on the pop-up the names of the groups that
put things
together? Can you just read those people?
Oh, no, it's not on.
It's on there? Okay.
I see... Yeah, I'd have to know what the acronyms
are. Well, anyway, for WomenCon, the people who helped put that on, I know Nerds of Color is part of it, Black Heroes Matter, and there's several other people. All those people who put in that work, who got that space, who were there to greet people, just thank you so much for like salvaging what you could.
Yes.
Because
in a week, bravo.
In a week and 7 days where you were like, you know what,
when you had other shit to
do. You guys just came together and put it together, and I've been looking at the tags and the pictures. Please, if you guys can, there's a Tumblr page. I think it's called Universal FanCon Tumblr or something like that. You can look on the FanCon
tag. Universal
hashtag
FanCon. You'll find all this stuff.
Go on, or you'll find it on. There's Google Docs, but on the Tumblr, there's actually an artist alley for the people who were going to be at Universal FanCon, who were bringing all their stuff to sell for fans.
That's how I found somebody. I got this little Japanese hairpins, little flowers.
Oh, I saw the hairpin. Yes. So please check it out, because a lot of these people spent hundreds and thousands of dollars to try to get there, and they're probably going to lose money. Some of them have gone out of business because of this. So if you can go check out the Tumblr, support, even if you can't buy, if you can signal boost the stuff, that will be awesome. And I'm hoping one day we'll be able to like have the con that we deserve in terms
of
our peeps.
This might be, you know, we burned the crop this year, right? And the soil. Now we got to let
minerals,
it rejuvenate, and now we got a phoenix rise out of that.
We will let it be fallow, and then it will grow.
Then we'll have
back
a nice harvest next year or the year after, but you got to organize, you got to plan. You can't just like drop seeds and piss on them. That's not going to work. That's not going to get you anything.
Damn.
any last words, Chris?
Drop seeds and piss on them.
Any last words?
I mean, all I can say is, you know what? I really like LeVar Burton's podcast, LeVar Burton Reads. Mm-hmm. But it's just sad. I mean, people don't, you know, you have to be, it's like I always say, you have to be aware of what your strengths are, but you got to be aware of what your weaknesses are too. And you can't be afraid to admit what your weaknesses are. You just got to find the way to address them. That means hiring the right person to do that.
Exactly.
You know, and don't hire sycophants.
don't always hire your friends.
Yes.
Hire people with the right skill sets.
Sycophants.
Right.
Then, you know, then like that's the recipe for success.
I was just thinking that a couple of things. I mean, I also think it's really sad. You know, we finally are about to have our big con, if you will, even though I wasn't planning to go because I wasn't invited. Shut up, girl.
Didn't say anything.
Anyway, I think it's really sad that we're not doing it, but there were a lot of mistakes made early.
Sure.
And you hit on the one that stood out to me the most. And I don't know if it was, I forgot when you said she wrote that letter about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not a leader.
I'm not a leader or whatever. I don't remember when she wrote
that. I'm not business savvy.
That said it all to me.
Yeah.
I'm like you. I read in between what people say about you.
You're telling me.
Was that this March or last March?
It was March 2018. Mm. That was the open letter she put out a month ago when she was like, we're transitioning BG into a business. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, too hesitant. We really need to watch the people that we follow. I think you're right on the fucking money about that. And I'm worried that it's going to cause a couple years before we can come back to having the type of con that you want to see. But I think we have to do exactly what you guys both said. It needs to be a nice, small, in the hotel.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's already cons like that. In D.C., there's Blurred Con. There's other cons that are already doing that.
Right.
The problem is
The type of con that they were trying to do.
They could have just glommed onto another one. Yes.
Yeah. Stop making it about celebrities and star fucking.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Let's just put that out there.
Yeah.
Let's make it about, okay, you have
they'll
a podcast.
They'll want to come because we're doing good
shit.
Right.
Exactly. People are attracted. If you're already doing something that's worthy of someone else's time, they'll be drawn to it. And the other thing, Hollywood Reporter did a write-up about this Universal Fan Con blowing up and all that.
Really?
They did a write-up on it, okay? And it reached that level because y'all fuck with some of their clients.
Right.
You fuck with some of the agents' clients in this town. Don't do that. Don't jerk people around saying, hey, we're going to pay for them to come out. And then the agents are like, okay, where's the plane ticket?
And especially if they had some assignments or other jobs they could have been doing.
Right.
You're messing with people's money.
We're talking about our elders.
They
like
have
Billy,
to go on
Billy
hold.
Dee Williams.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you guys want to spew this black excellence stuff all the time. Like, black excellence. Then fucking be excellent. And don't have it come down to, we fucked everything up. We're heading for the hills. We're not, taking accountability. And someone else has to come along and create a pop-up that is what is the thing in 7 days that this thing should have been originally.
Right.
Do that from the jump. Right. Have your shit together from the jump.
Hey, what can you say? And my condolences for those of you who are watching Infinity Wars right now.
Mm-hmm.
If your favorite didn't make it, I'm so sorry.
Listen.
Hold on, before you get on it.
I'm so sorry.
This last thing.
That's all I got to say.
Just like we do when we're producing a movie or a TV show, you have contingencies.
Mm-hmm.
You need to back yourself
where
up.
You didn't have a PR contingency plan in case things went out? Yeah, nothing.
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 Now go ahead and do your little
thing. Well, Infinity
Not
War.
Too long, though.
Yeah, my condolences to everybody.
I got a quick thing to say. I've been tweeting
for all week. My condolences.
Because I have not seen Infinity War yet.
Okay.
But
we're all going to go next week, though.
Okay,
but let me say this. Okay, next week when we go see the movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If they kill Captain America in this movie.
I don't know why.
You're not going to leave the theater, are you?
If they kill.
You're not going to get up and leave the theater, are you?
Listen to me.
I don't understand why that's like not a possibility.
I don't care about the comics. I don't care about the comics.
Expectation.
I don't care what the comics say.
Expectation.
We have built this character over 10 years.
Expectation.
If you
saw the trailer. Thanos was pushing him down into the ground. Put him in the grave.
Don't
put him
do
in
it.
The grave.
Don't.
Raven this dude.
Do it. If you kill Marvel, listen to me. I'm talking directly to Marvel right now. If you kill Captain America in this movie, I will burn your studio to the ground. will be ashes.
I would tell you what car she drives. She's going to have her cat in the passenger seat.
Oh, I already got a squad. I already got elite squad, Black Ops, together already. We're doing it.
She
you will
fly
be
over
ashes.
It's funny because last night I finally watched Captain America, the very first one.
Mm-hmm. It's so good.
I enjoyed
so good.
It. I had never watched
it's
it before.
So good.
I enjoyed it. I fell asleep halfway through only because. Not because I was bored.
Winter Soldier.
No, Winter Soldier's not.
I was just tired. That's all.
No. I haven't watched a whole bunch of stuff the night before, and I was just like tired, and then I had some good glasses of wine, and I should have just waited and watched the movie first and had my glass of wine. I was like, oh my god, Bucky was really cute in this.
Yeah,
look at little Chris Evans with his little scrawny little neck.
Little.
And then when he came out, and when they popped open the thing, like popping fresh oven, and he came out, and I was like, ooh, the sweat trickling down,
up.
Like an Adonis. I was like, I understand.
I understand.
No, that's my favorite movie.
I understand. It was it was really good. So
it's the story of every veteran because they don't want you. You're too small. You're too black. You're a girl. They don't want you, and then you have to like
become a super soldier for the.
Well, you have to figure because originally he wasn't gonna be a super soldier. He figures out like, okay, I'm not the biggest guy here. I can't climb that pole. Let me figure out.
Can I say that I cried when he jumped on the grenade?
Oh yeah, that part gets me every time.
Like I sat there and bawled like a baby, and I was like, "Oh my god!" Now
and
I understand.
And the way he's
hugging
it, like, and he's telling them, "Get away!
Oh come on, man! I started crying. I was like, "Ooh. I understand now. I
love
get it.
Movie.
I
love
get it."
On that note,
Chris is like,
I mean, look, I always said that. You know the difficulty with successfully pulling off the Marvel franchise, the whole studio thing was, how do you bring Iron Man to life the right way, and how do you do Cap like story in World War II the right way to make those things believable? Because that's ultimately the two characters that you will fall in love with. If you're watching Marvel stuff, because at the time they didn't have Spider-Man or X-Men stuff, so the stuff they were left with were the characters that weren't necessarily the ones that were so beloved to the fans, but were stalwart characters that you just had to figure you had to crack the story the right way, and they did with both of those in a way that is the reason why we can watch Infinity War now because
10 years later,
because if Iron Man 10 years ago. Was not really a success, just an okay hit, and Captain America was kind of like an okay thing, then we wouldn't be where we are now.
Right.
You know?
Good point.
Anyway.
What's up?
But I will burn your studio to the ground.
Yes.
If you kill Captain America, Marvel.
Where you at, Lisa?
You know where you can find me on Twitter. I'm always on Twitter, folks. Shout out to folks. I'll be in Wisconsin in 2 weeks. Shout out to our guest of honor, Saladin Ahmed, and also my girl Tanana Reeve Du. I'll see you guys in 2 weeks, so it'll be fun. And if you ever want to go to an excellent con that's been doing the work, and it's one of my favorites, it's WisCon in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh wait, did you say that Saladin Ahmed is going to be there?
Mm-hmm. He's the guest of honor.
Oh,
him and Tanana Reeve, both of them. So
does he get that book out now called Abbott? There's like a Boom comic. Man, it's not Boom. Maybe it is Boom. He's got it's like some a black woman in Detroit is investigating. She's a reporter. She's investigating like witchcraft and shit. And he's got some really. There's a book of his. I remember. Fuck, it's like some Arabian Nights type of thing. From
his first book.
Yeah, first book. Yeah, mm-hmm. Awesome. So
yeah, so he's the guest of honor there. So I'll be seeing both of them and seeing the rest of my peeps. So yeah. Awesome.
Where are you at, Linnell?
You can find me on Twitter at Linnell White, LYNELLEWHITE.
And remember her hashtag. What if you're going to be excellent and black. Don't come with the bullshit.
Well, I don't know. I don't even know what I said. I don't even know what. I just like, you know, yeah.
It was like, I was just thinking about all you're talking about all the bullshit. It's like Paul Gio is like, by the end of the year, I'm probably not even going to be on Twitter anymore. It's like too much bullshit.
It's,
like
it's just become, it's not what it could have been, but I don't know. We'll see.
Anyway. I am your host, Hilliard Guest. You guys can find me on Twitter at Hilliard Guest. You guys can follow the show, Screenwriters RR, on Twitter. Any questions, screenwritersrantroom@gmail.com. Please give us a 5-star review. We need that for the metrics on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Docs or whatever the hell you listen to. motherfuckers. please follow us on Facebook. Instagram, all the bullshit. I'm in a rush. So we appreciate everybody. Big happy birthday to Chris Derrick
happy
in the
birthday,
house
Chris.
Tomorrow.
Happy
Thank
birthday.
You. Gonna be 17.
Gonna be 17.
times five.
Exactly. 17. So y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room. On the show, we keep it real. We keep it opinionated. We keep it watch y'all.
Wakanda forever. Minus Linnell and Infinity Fade.
Peace.
Ciao.
I'ma say what I feel, and I promise to keep it real.
Welcome to the Rant Room. Boom. Oh, yeah. So you wanna be a writer? Well, you gotta be a writer.
till your fears are diminishing, the doubts are behind ya. It's hard to grind and the business got me stressed. In the rent room, we let that shit up off our chest. You know the street nerd has got no time for no caca. Sass in class, yes, that's Mr. Bolakaja. Never have to guess when you're listening to Hilliard. He gon' bring more game than a shark playing billiards. It's all about the crap of screenwriting. It's exciting when you turn an outline into something enlightening. Your pen and words are like bullets in a gun. Write what you feel, say what you want.
Welcome to the Rant Room.